Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Good morning, it's Monday. My voice has decided to stay on the weekend, so please do bear with me. We've got a fantastic show for you today. I'm chatting with physiotherapist Caitlin Crowe. We're chatting about the role of physiotherapy in stroke recovery, so post-stroke, something that's absolutely vital. I'm a huge fan of movement. I believe it adds incredible quality to our lives, and that's what keeps us young. We should all be striving to move like we did when we were 12 years old. Let us have your questions for our guest on 061-895-1019, and we will get Caitlin to answer them for you. So please stay with us. We'll be back with you and our fantastic guest here on the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show on 101.9 High FM, straight after these ads.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Thank you so much for joining us on this Monday, and possibly even Sunday, depending on when you're listening to this morning. My name is Nicholas Ingle. You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 High FM. An absolutely vital topic today. If you can, and if it's safe to do so, grab a notebook, message the loved one, tell them to jump onto the show, whether it's on our FM transmitter or online, and let's chat post-stroke recovery. We're chatting with Caitlin Crowe, physiotherapist. I think it's so important, Caitlin, and firstly, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Awesome. It's such an important topic because I know sort of the acronym FAST with relationships to stroke, face, arms, speech, and time. Time is the factor of getting it dealt with. But once you start to get treatment and your recovery journey starts, people can look at their lives as being taken away from them, their mobility, their speech, their ability to interact with other people. But hope is not lost. And this is the incredible value of what you do and what is done within physiotherapy. So I'm really, really excited to chat about this. Let's have a look at sort of with what is stroke and why it's so important to have early intervention.
Yeah, so I think there are, if we classify strokes just generally, we either get two types of strokes. So we get an ischemic stroke, and that is when there is a blockage to any artery and then the brain is not receiving enough oxygen that causes damage to the brain. Or we can have a hemorrhagic stroke, and that's when there's an actual burst blood vessel into the brain. That obviously causes damage within those structures in the brain. Whatever structure of the brain is affected, that will then lay over into how the patient presents. So if a certain area of the brain's affected, we can have movement that's affected, or if there's another area, it can affect your vision or your speech or your balance. So I think, like you mentioned, time is absolutely essential when it comes to a stroke. And I think often after a stroke, there's a whole lot of emotions, both for the patient and for the family themselves. And they often don't know what to do. There's medical tests being done. There's a lot of uncertainty about how the future is going to look. There's a lot of confusion. And I think a lot of the time for both the patient and the family, starting rehab is sometimes the last thing on our mind, just because there are so many emotions going on at the time of the diagnosis. But ideally, we do want to start, like you mentioned, as soon as possible. So normally a patient would be diagnosed into hospital after having a stroke. And as soon as they are medically stable, which is normally within the first 24 to 48 hours, the neurologist looking after the patient will then refer them directly to physio. So physio is normally started in hospital as soon as the patient's stable. I think I always say to my patients, the first 6 months of our stroke rehab is the most important. That is when we see the most change, the most rapid recovery. So we really, really do try push those 6 months. But I also say it's not to say if you haven't started in those 6 months, you can't start. Yes, starting earlier is obviously better and more ideal. But if you haven't started, it's not to say that you can't progress. So even if you are starting later, you will still benefit. The rate just might not be as quick as if you were to start earlier.
Right. I think, how important is it for loved ones, family, friends of the stroke victim? I don't know, is stroke victim an appropriate term to use, or stroke patient, should we say?
Stroke patient, I think.
Stroke patient, absolutely. Just to encourage them to say, you know, I think the expertise that we have available in South Africa is unbelievable. You know, our healthcare practitioners are really amazing. And the less stress that you have when you have an injury to the brain in terms of recovery, the better. So what would you say to someone who perhaps has had a family member that's just had a stroke, to say, listen, you know, in terms of trust the process, the support that's available, just focus on getting through the next few days and getting the treatment started as soon as possible, rather than putting treatment, the recovery treatment aside and not prioritizing it.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I often see with our patients, especially in hospital patients, like I mentioned, there's so much worry and anxiety about what's going on. And I think the family really just does want to be there to help the patient. But like you said, at the end of the day, they are professionals. We have fantastic neurologists, fantastic neurosurgeons, fantastic physios, OTs. And just to, like you say, trust the process. They know what they're doing. At the end of the day, we really want what's best for the patient. We will do anything to get the patient as best as they can be. And I think so often the patients want to be involved. Often they want to be in the rehab sessions. And that's sometimes not the best thing for the patient. Sometimes you actually just need to say, this is not in my control. I am not qualified in this field, just as I am not qualified as an accountant or a lawyer. I wouldn't try and step into those fields. That I think just trusting that your healthcare workers really, really do want what's best for the patient.
I think it comes down to trust the process and, you know, just stick with it. I think one of the things, and it's an indicator of sort of the socioeconomic status within South Africa, that we have so many people living within poverty, relying on government hospitals. But because of that, because of the extent of people and the diversity of people coming into government hospitals, where many healthcare practitioners get their training, you're exposed to so much more than you would be in other countries. I mean, I know we have doctors coming from Europe, from the US, from Australia, for their trauma training in South Africa. I had a friend of mine say to me, he did more suturing. He's a German doctor. He did more suturing in his first day at Barrow than he did in his entire medical practice up until that point. So I think we really have such a strong base and such expertise and experience. I'd just like your thoughts on that, just to reassure people to trust the process, trust the healthcare practitioner.
So I think I saw that so much in my CompServe year. So I was placed at a hospital called Tele Mohorane Regional Hospital. We were based in Vosloorus. I don't know if you know where that is, but it is one of the biggest rehab units in government. And just being there in that year and seeing same patients that are having strokes, yes, we're not able to see them as much as we like, but when the patient is there, they get our all. We really want to do what's best for them. Sometimes they can't afford to get to physio every week because of transport issues, but in that hour or half an hour, whatever it might be that we see the patient, we will do whatever we can. And I think in those lower socioeconomic groups, we try enable the patient. So yes, you might not be able to come to physio every week, but when we're with you, we try encourage them either to bring a caregiver or someone so that we can do training for a home layover. So it's not necessarily that you add physio every day or every week, but when you go home, you know what you need to do, you know what you have to do. And then if we follow up with you in a month's time, then we can progress your rehab from there. So it's not to say that the rehab isn't accessible to everyone. It is. It might just look different for different groups.
And that's what's so amazing, is that within South Africa, because of the challenges we face, everybody as a healthcare professional is being upskilled in multiple different levels and very diverse versus someone who's working overseas. Not to say that they're not fantastic, but there's a lot more experience that's happening here because of the diversity and the pressure that you're under because you're having to deal with a lot more patients at once.
Yeah, you know, I definitely do think it keeps you on your toes. And what I really appreciated when we were studying, so like I mentioned, I studied at Tux. All the universities are amazing in South Africa in the sense that they don't train you to use the fanciest machinery. Sometimes we don't have access to that. So if your patient has a 2-liter bottle that they can fill with water and use that as a weight, that's what we use. So we have to get to our patient's level, meet them where they're at, what do you have available to you at home, and then we make specific programs for that patient. So I think it is really cool in South Africa. I think we are a lot more adaptable and diverse because that's how we train. Whereas overseas, there is access to such awesome equipment, which is also amazing. But I think we are forced to keep on our toes and think of new ways and different ways to do things.
I think that goes just back to the point of to the families and the patient. Trust the process, trust the caregiver, get involved in what they're telling you to do as quickly as possible. I think, and that brings us to this next question I just want to touch on before we go to ads. What is the role and the power of physiotherapy in recovery for a stroke patient?
So I think there's so many answers to that question. I think it's almost like asking a child why they're so excited on Christmas Day. Physio helps with stroke patients in so many different ways. I think anyone who's had a stroke or who supported a loved one through a stroke will be able to tell you how important physio is just after being through that experience. I think
to jump in. I can see Craig signaling that it's time to go to ads. So we're going to kick off with a live read and let's touch on this when we're back from advert. Fantastic.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 High FM. And I'm chatting with Caitlin Crow, physiotherapist. We're chatting about stroke and recovery. Fortunately, as you can hear, my voice is going a little bit. I do apologize. And I'll do my best not to cough and sneeze, Caitlin, while we are chatting. Just before we went to ads, we started off talking about, and it seems to be a skill of mine to start a new question 15 seconds before ad break. I'm sure I'm driving Craig mad. So I appreciate your patience. The role and the power of physiotherapy in treating a stroke patient, if we can jump back onto that.
Perfect. So I think one of the main reasons physio is so important comes down to something we call neuroplasticity. That is a very long term, but in layman's terms, it basically means the brain's ability to rewire after a stroke. And it's such an incredible thing that happens. But I like to explain it to my patients as if you drive on a highway every single day to work. You use that main route. For some reason, the highway gets blocked, but we still need to get to work. So we need to find other routes to drive. So it's basically the brain forming alternate routes to get to the same place. And that's what happens after a stroke. And it's incredible that your brain has the ability to adapt and to rewire. And I think that's why physio is so important. We focus on repetitive functional movements. So that is what reinforces that rewiring of the brain. I think after a stroke, the brain and the body both basically have to relearn how to move and function. And that's where physio makes such a difference. So we help with improving balance. We help with improving strength, coordination, and walking. But for me, I honestly think the most important thing about physio in stroke recovery, and it's the part that excites me the most, is just getting the patient's independence back. I think or small things, if the patient's able to brush their teeth or if they're able to stand up on their own or if they can get into a car, it's those little things that really make such a difference. And I think physio and both occupational therapy as well are so important in just giving that patient the independence that we need.
So I think it's something that we take for granted. And when that's taken away, it can be absolutely, absolutely terrifying. But the capacity of the brain, for me, which I find amazing, is not all the we don't use all the brain we have, and the brain has such incredible ways of rewiring, setting new neural pathways, new connections. Some of the stuff that I do with working with athletes in our gym, if they're having difficulty activating certain muscles, usually the hamstrings, we use proprioception to rebuild that connection, just very simply. I mean, you know, just very basically, and then people can start to redo that. For me, I struggled to read. I just spent 10 days being the announcer at an international sporting event and pronouncing names from Europe, from Asia, from around the world. And what I was blown away by is the fact that when I did it in last year in August, it was really a struggle. This year, it was much easier. Suddenly, things started to click. Now, yes, that's our brain. So do people, when they meet, come to you for the first time, realize actually how amazing the brain is and how capable it is to rebuild and give people back their independence?
So I think so often people at their first session, they're so hopeless and they don't know what to expect. And it is really overwhelming. But I think that's where my passion for physio and the human body comes in. It is so cool. And it's so incredible how our body can relearn. And I often say to my patients, yes, it's a long journey, but it's amazing to see how quickly things actually do progress. Yes, it's small things, but just to see, oh, you weren't actually able to do that last week. You can do it. How cool is that? And I think only once people fully invest and they fully trust the process, that's when we see the best results, you know.
And such an important point, trust the process. Bring that, and it's a very difficult thing to tell someone in that position, but bring the optimism, trust the process, get excited. And, you know, that it's something that will really accelerate the pace that people can progress at. With that said, how do you manage expectations and sort of build patience and understanding that it is a lengthy process? And I know we touched on 6 months, but it is really a lifetime process.
Definitely. Yeah. So I think it's such a common thing, and it's such a completely understandable feeling that patients do get frustrated. I don't think I've had any stroke patient that hasn't got frustrated at some point in the process. I think I often tell my patients that it is a journey. Like you said, it's not just 6 months, it's a lifetime journey. Mm-hmm. And I like to explain it as, you're climbing a really tall ladder, and every little step that we do, every session that we do, every time you do your exercises at home, that is one step up the ladder. So for me, and I'm sure you can tell, I get really excited about it. I often think my patients think I'm a little bit crazy because I'll get so excited and celebrate such small wins. If they can lift their arm a little bit higher than the day before, if they're able to balance for 3 seconds longer than they were last week, those are all steps up that ladder. And yes, it might seem like something really small in the moment, but we are working towards that end goal. So I think it's so important just to encourage the patient, I think both from the therapist side, as well as the family and their support group side, we need to constantly encourage them, because sometimes that internal encouragement or motivation is not there. And we need our support group and our therapist to step up for us. I think another very important thing is setting realistic short-term goals. So a lot of times patients will come and they'll say, oh, but I want to walk again. And then we have to sit down and say, okay, yes, I agree with you. That would be ideal. We'd love to walk again. But what are the steps in between there? You need to be able to stand up by yourself. You need to be able to balance on your own. You need to be able to lift one leg up at a time. And if we set realistic goals, I think it just puts the patient at ease and they're less frustrated. So no, I'm not going to promise you that we're going to be walking next week, but if we can practice your sit to stands and you can stand on your own next week, we're one step higher up that ladder. And I think Yeah, it's really just important to set the expectations to try eliminate the frustration with the patients.
With the patients that you've worked with in the past, has it been more of managing expectations or actually increasing expectations for patients in terms of the mindset where they come in, how they're feeling about themselves and what they can do?
So I honestly think probably more so on the increasing the expectations. I think a lot of people come in and say maybe their right arm is not working at all. I think there's very little education around strokes in the sense that people think this is how it's going to be forever. And I think it is nice when you can say to a patient, no, but we are progressing. That arm is starting to move. There is still muscle activation in the arm. We're not hopeless. So I think a lot of the time we can actually give patients that encouragement and say, listen, you can set your expectations higher. I can see that the muscles are still working. They're not dead completely. If we have movement, we can strengthen. And I think that's where the rehab really gets so exciting, is just seeing patients feeling more hopeful. And they're like, oh, wait, I can actually do that. I think that is such an awesome feeling.
Oh, that's absolutely, absolutely phenomenal. If we look at some of the practicality, and I do understand that every stroke is different, but what are the practical steps that you take? If you'd like to give us an example of a patient that's had a stroke, how do you start to rebuild them? You know, let's say what's been affected, what's damaged, and then how do you start to rebuild?
Perfect. So like you mentioned, I do think it is obviously very patient specific. So when a patient comes in, we'll assess, we'll obviously look at whatever medical records we have, if there are MRIs done, just to see, you know, what areas of the brain are affected. And our treatment plan will be based on that. But obviously, as physios, we're very focused on movement, your gross motor movement, your walking. Occupational therapists will be more focused on the fine motor, the smaller movements, as well as your activities of daily living. But I'll touch through a few techniques that we do use. Obviously, it's not all of them, and it's just a brief run through. So you're welcome to ask any questions if you do have. But I think one of the biggest things as physios that we do is retraining movement and focusing on functional movement. So that's what I said just now, is just to get those pathways rewired. So we do things repetitively. It's very different to a patient or say someone who hasn't had an injury, and you can say, go to the gym and do 20 bicep curls with a weight. We don't take that approach with stroke patients. We're a lot more functional. So we'd rather focus on, can you lift up your arm and reach the washing off the washing line, or can you pick up your coffee cup, and more functional movement. So it's very functional. We also do focus on balance and coordination, as well as stretching and strengthening. So often with a stroke, one side of the body will be affected. So sometimes patients get increased muscle tone and their muscles become stiff. So we do also sometimes do hands-on techniques. We can do joint mobilizations or soft tissue release, just to help with pain relief as well as improving their range of motion. There's another technique that some physios like to use. It's called electrical stimulation. I always laugh because when I mention it to my patients, I think they think you're going to shock them, or they don't really know what to expect. But it is basically just a little device we use. It connects to electrodes, and we run a very light electrical impulse through there. That's basically just to facilitate the muscle contraction. Mm-hmm. So I like to use it in combination with the patient actively contracting the muscle. I think getting the brain to rewire and having that external stimulation also helps just with strengthening. Another nice technique that some physios use is called mirror therapy. So we can divide that into, I suppose, two types. One is pretty straightforward. When you're exercising, you put the patient in front of a mirror. It's like if you're training at the gym, it just gives you that visual feedback. I think so often with stroke patients, their brain almost forgets about the affected side of the body, and they stand up and they're standing skew, but they don't even feel that they're standing skew. So popping them in front of a mirror, they're getting another sense of input, and they can be like, oh my word, I don't feel like I'm standing skew, but the mirror is telling me that I'm not straight. So we use it in that sense. And then there's also another really cool technique of mirror therapy, that we put the affected arm, so the weaker arm, we put it almost into like a triangle box which has mirrors on the outside. So we put the weaker arm inside, it's not doing anything, but we use the stronger arm next to the mirror, and we'll lift the hand of the stronger arm, and the patient's then seeing in the mirror it looks like their weaker or their affected hand is moving. It's not, it's inside the box doing nothing, but just that visual input from the mirror is really cool, because it tricks the brain into thinking, oh, my hand is working. So that's a really nice technique. And then I think the last main one that we use is something called constraint-induced mirror therapy, movement therapy. So that's basically, like I mentioned, often after a stroke, the patient completely forgets about that side of the body. It's almost as if it's not there. So they only want to use the strong side. So what we do, which might seem a little bit mean, but it is to help the patient, we then restrict that strong side. We'll put it in a sling, fasten it behind their back, and now you only have to use your weaker side. So it's just then forcing the brain to use that side. So yeah, like I mentioned, there are really a lot of different techniques we can use. Like you said, it is patient specific, but I think you just have to see what impairments the patient has and which one of these techniques will work best for them. I think every patient is different. Some patients with the same diagnosis respond differently to different treatments. So you have to really see what works best for them.
So it's almost like re-educating the brain in terms of how to work with the body. Or you know, now you worked with your body in English, now you have to learn to work with it in Afrikaans, type of thing, where it's learning a new language and process. With all of these techniques, how do you work sort of with the caregivers? What's the process, caregivers with family, in terms of giving homework? Because we all know that patients are very committed, whether they are a stroke patient or just someone going to a physio with a shoulder injury. Every patient does homework that the physio gives them, right? Well, okay.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. I think left to
even
our own
I always say to my patients, I myself, even after being injured, I'm not the best with my home exercises. So I think it's a common problem with all of us, is the motivation is really a problem sometimes. I think with something like a stroke, the family and the caregivers buy-in is so important. You can't rely on the stroke patient to do everything. They're already going through so much, more so mentally than physically sometimes, and they need the people around them to actually step up and be there for them. So we don't in every session have the family or caregivers, but what I like to do every so often is to invite the family or caregivers in, and you go through everything with them. You enable them almost to be their home physio. Mm-hmm. And I often say to my caregivers, you're the physio now until I see the patient again. So what I like to do is to just give very structured home programs. I think a lot of the time you'll go to a physio and they'll say, okay, do this, this, and this. But then you go home and you're like, oh, what were those exercises? I don't know. So with technology advancing, I use a really cool system that you can actually plug in the patient's details and you add their specific exercises, and there's videos of everything. I think what helps a lot with accountability on the system we use is the patient actually has to tick off if they've done their exercises, so I can see what's happening. And I will, if my patients are not doing it, I will send them a very polite WhatsApp and just say, you know, like, is everything going okay? I see you haven't done your exercises, and just give them a bit of encouragement and show them that they need to take accountability for it.
I think on that point, for the patients who are accountable, who do stick, and I know it's difficult because I've been guilty of this with injuries and being very, very slack. You know, like the strength stuff is fine, but particularly the mobility and the stretching, the kind of mundane, we don't want to go through it. But for the patients who do stick to the protocol, who do the work, how much quicker is their recovery? Does it make a profound difference? Is it something that's not really huge?
No, it is. It is so, so, so important. And we can see it as the therapist. So if I see my patient once a week, I can tell before the patient's even given me feedback if they have done their exercises at home. So you can see with the patients that are doing it actively at home versus the ones who aren't. And they progress so quickly. Those are the patients that if you see them weekly, you can change the exercises weekly because they are able to do the next level. Whereas if it's not being done at home, we tend to sit on the same level for quite a while and the progress is just so much slower. So we really, really get so excited when patients do what they're supposed to do because the process is just so much easier then.
Phenomenal. What we're about to go to ads. Just before we do, I'd like to touch on when we come back, what are some of the tips, tricks, lessons that you've learned as a South African physio that you could give our audience some advice? Perhaps there are people that have suffered from stroke, don't have access to gym, and you mentioned a 2-liter water bottle. So I'd love some of those tips and tricks and ideas when we come back after these ads. We'll pop off to the ads. We're chatting with an absolute, loving this conversation, Caitlin, thank you. Caitlin Crowe, physiotherapist. Let us have your questions for our guest on 0618951019 when we're back from these ads.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You are listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. I'm chatting with Caitlin Crowe, physiotherapist. We're talking about the role of physios in recovery from stroke. Let us have your questions for our guest on 0618951019. Caitlin, just before we went to break, and sorry, I have a terrible memory. I think it's one of the consequences. I think I've been sober for 19 years now, but I'll blame my drinking for it, not just that I forget stuff. So often we'll go to adverts like, what was the question I asked the guest? But at least this one I remember. So you mentioned the 2 liter water bottle, which I thought was absolutely fantastic. For those members of our community, of our listeners that may not have access to gym membership, to the opportunity to go to a physiotherapist outside of being in hospital, what are some of the tips and tricks that stroke patients can use for their recovery, if there's family members listening to that can pass on that advice?
So I think that is a very important question, especially in the country that we live in. Not a lot of people do have access to healthcare. And if they do, they might get a booking, like I said, once a month or once every 6 months. So we really need to enable patients to do what they can at home. Same with patients that can afford to come to my practice every week. They'll often say, can I buy this? Or I've seen this. And I'm the first one to be like, no, we're not spending money unnecessarily. You don't need to do it. There's a lot of simple ways you can do things. So for example, we use balance pads. So it's like a little foam pad that we do a lot of balance work on at the practice. A lot of the time my patients are like, must I buy one of these? And I'm like, no, it's not necessary. So at home, if you have grass outside in your garden or even just sand, anything that's not a stable base, you can practice balancing on. So as long as it's not a hard concrete floor, if you're on the grass, if you're on sand, you can also take a towel and fold it up. And that just gives us a bit of a wobbly base. You can practice some balance exercises on there. I always think that's a really nice trick. I think so often patients get comfortable and their balance is good when they are on a hard concrete surface. But as soon as we take them onto anything different, the grass or the sand, that's when they start to lose their balance. And that is something that's important. You know, we don't only live on concrete floor. If a patient needs to walk to the taxi, they need to be able to walk on sand and unstable surfaces. So nice little tricks like that. I think another thing we do use in the practice, we have like stairs as you would in a gym that we can practice stairs on. But you don't need anything fancy like that. So I always say to my patients, if you have one step up into your house, or if it's one step off the patio, one step into the doorway, that's all we can need. We can do our step drills up and down on there. You don't need to go and buy a portable step. We make use of what you have at home. So another nice thing, say, for example, like an exercise like a squat, we can do. You don't need a fancy squat machine. You can do it sit to stand on a chair. You can hold a 2 liter bottle. You can hold 2 liter bottles if you get that strong, but we make do with what you have at home. So I think one of the most important things when we assess a patient is just to see, what do you have available at home? I hate making people spend money. I think having something like this, you already have spent a lot of money, but we need to make use of what you have at home. So if a patient can't afford a walking frame, I will often encourage them, take a little chair at home. If you have a chair and you just practice walking, pushing that chair along, it's nice and stable. Yes, it's not perfect, but we can start there. So I think we really need to be able to adapt to what our patient has access to and make a plan with what they have at home.
That's such an incredible point, and it's so valuable that it doesn't have to be perfect. And I think for many people, that's the stumbling block, where the equipment is not perfect. Then they don't use it. Instead of it like a frame, to use a chair, whatever's available. And as you said, many times, unfortunately, I think people lose their employment when they're unable to work for an extended period of time. So there isn't the money available. But there is that 2 liter water bottle, or a 500 ml water bottle, you know, that to start with. I mean, you said two 200 ml water, two liter Coke bottles as an example, but hold those on top and walk with. That's one of the torches we use at the gym. It's a lot of fun.
Exactly. And
it starts out easy, but no, it's not fun. So they're absolutely phenomenal. If we're looking at the sort of, that's the very basic stuff, and I think that's so, so vital for South Africans, that it's the ingenuity, whether it's a step at home or getting in and out of a chair or even slowing down the repetition. We slow down the repetition. We basically put a little bit more load onto our nervous system. You know, everyone does a push-up for 30 seconds down and 30 seconds up. It's a big difference to a normal half a second up and down. So there are all of these wonderful things that are available. And I think just to touch on before we talk about the advanced equipment that's available and all that's coming out, the nervous system is such an incredible thing where if we have an injury in one part of the body, we can train other parts and keep that strength, even build that strength. With a stroke, how is the nervous system affected in terms of, you know, if we have a stronger arm and we train that stronger arm, that, you know, does it help the nervous system in terms of the weaker arm, or is it that it's lying in the brain that doesn't make a difference?
So I think it's always important to try get a bit of a balance. Like I mentioned, with when we do that constraint-induced movement therapy, we don't want to only use the strong arm, because what tends to happen after a stroke is patients actually forget that that side of their body is even there. Sometimes you can be like, move your right arm, and they're like, what right arm? In their brain, it doesn't exist anymore. So I think it's important to keep the unaffected, the strong arm, keep it strong, keep training it, because often that's what's going to be there to help us stand up. It's going to be there to help us lift heavy things when the weaker arm can't. So I do think it's definitely important that we keep training the stronger side, because that will be what will be able to lift us up on a walker. The weaker arm is not going to be able to pull us up in the beginning, but we can't ignore the weaker arm. So I always try to do a bit of both. I always say, do your exercises on both sides. There's no harm, you know. Yes, maybe the stronger arm, we can advance it more. We can put a bit more weight or a bit more load, but do it on both sides, because both arms are super important. We need to get that weaker arm stronger, and we need to keep the strong arm strong and make sure it doesn't get injured, because it is now taking on extra load that it wouldn't have before.
Okay, fantastic. I absolutely love that. What is happening in terms of the advance in treatment and equipment? What's available? Robotics, we mentioned electronic stimulation and so on. What's coming in the future? What does the future hold for treatment?
So, I mean, there's already really, really cool equipment available. Even here in South Africa, we have some awesome rehab centers that have what we call like an exoskeleton. So basically, it walks for the patient, and that helps just recreate those neural pathways. We have anti-gravity treadmills that take away gravity. And if the patient can't hold themselves up, it takes the force of gravity away, and we can get the patient walking in those. I always say they are amazing, but it's not essential. If you have access to it, by all means, go use it. If you can afford it, do it. But it's not to say if you can't do it that your rehab is going to be affected. So I think they are nice to haves.
I love that. And nice to have, not a have to have. We're going to jump into an ad break. Just before we do, when we come back and wrap up the show, I'd just like your thoughts on two things. One, what can people be doing to, you know, anybody can be affected by a stroke. So what can we be doing to ensure we're as healthy as possible, that if heaven forbid someone has a stroke, their body is physically able to aid their recovery, perhaps physically and mentally? And then your words for people who have suffered from a stroke, just some words of encouragement about the future and what can be done. Let's go to ads, and we'll touch on those two questions when we wrap up.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 as we wrap up with our guest, Caitlin Crowe, physiotherapist, talking about stroke recovery and the role of physiotherapy. Always have to give a shout out to Sina Pabetsi, our producer, for finding such awesome guests. I love this. This isn't work. It's too much fun. And I think vitally, vitally important. So, okay, just as we wrap up, what can we be doing to ensure that if we do, heaven forbid, suffer from a stroke, that we're in as good a physical condition as possible? I know you're probably thinking this is a normal question, and we should all know the answer to this. And then just very quickly, we've got about 2 minutes as we wrap up, you know, just some hope for those who have suffered or are going to suffer, but God forbid, a stroke.
Perfect. So I think, like you mentioned, it does seem, you know, like a pretty straightforward answer, but the healthier you go into a stroke or any injury or heart attack, the better your recovery is going to be. So everyone knows exercise. You must exercise. Your body must be in good condition. If you are stronger, your recovery is going to be easier. You know, if standing up before the stroke was difficult, imagine how standing up after the stroke is going to be. So your exercise is so important, and managing your body weight. So what we see a lot in practice is patients that are overweight, it is very difficult to get them up after a stroke if you are carrying extra weight, because it's just a whole nother load now we need to take on. So managing your body weight, keeping healthy, eating healthy. A lot of the time, cholesterol can be a cause of stroke. So you want to make sure you're doing regular checks. Go to your GP, do your vitality health checks. Make sure everything is in line so that we can prevent these things from happening. And smoking, unfortunately, alcohol, they are big contributing factors. So if we can quit those habits, we are less predisposed to it. And also, if you are a smoker or if you happen to drink alcohol and you have a stroke, your recovery is slower. It's shown in research that you will recover slower by using those substances. And then just the last thing that you mentioned, just to give, you know, a bit of advice or just a few words for patients that have possibly undergone a stroke. It is a devastating thing. And I think no one can take that away from you. But I think the important thing is to not lose hope, to rely on those people around you. Your support system is so important. You can't take on something like this on your own. You need to lean on people, lean on your therapist, lean on your family, ask for help when you need it. It's okay to ask for help. And I think just keep climbing that ladder one step at a time. You know, we might not be at the top of the ladder, but if you can just get one step up that ladder every day, you're moving in the right direction. So I think, yeah, that's really just the most important thing, is just keep moving forward. As soon as you stop and as soon as you plateau, that's when we start to lose hope. As long as you're moving forward in the right direction.
I love that. And just keep moving. And that's the role, right, of the physio, to keep you moving so you can keep moving. And absolutely fantastic. Aitlin Crow, thank you so much for joining us. It was absolutely fantastic to have you on the show. To our wonderful listeners, thank you for joining us today. Really enjoyed chatting to you, and I hope that you found this information valuable. From my side, what I would like to say, movement is a gift. Brain health is a gift. When you wake up in the morning, look at yourself in the mirror. If you're not doing the things you should be doing now to look after your health, imagine if you weren't able to do them. Get to the gym, get outside, move, walk. Think of how simple brushing your teeth is. And if you aren't able to do that because of a stroke, and you're able to do that now, just value your health. It is a gift, but it's a gift that's earned every single day. Thank you, everyone. I look forward to chatting with you all next week.